When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In California, an HGTV star is sentenced to prison after committing millions of dollars worth of fraud. In Indiana, a woman calls the cops after she noticed she was sold a bad batch of meth.
Really?
And New York mobster Sal the Shoemaker pleads guilty. These stories and more are coming at you today, Monday, April 22nd. On Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Good weekend, fellas.
What's up? Yeah.
Earth Day today.
Is it?
Yes. Nobody cares about Earth Day. I don't really give a shit.
I thought about an Earth Day game for you guys and decided against it.
Yeah, thank you.
Can't answer much about Earth Day.
Earth Day. Mother Earth.
I did look up crimes committed on Earth Day, but it didn't really. There's nothing that stood out.
Well, Lex Luthor tried to destroy Earth.
That's true. That should count.
That's true. That should be in there.
Very true.
And that Lex Luthor being a great criminal is a good segue for me saying
quit your bullshit because we did it for 20 minutes last episode.
Yeah, let's get us a true crime time for Monday.
I reserve the right to bullshit later.
I have a bullshit too.
All right, we're gonna bring you into HGTV for a minute. We're gonna tell you about
speaking of bullshit, homegrown TV,
Home and Garden TV.
Charles Todd Hill, who is a former HGTV star, was sentenced Tuesday to 4 years in jail for committing real estate and financial fraud in order to pay nearly $10 million in restitution. Hill, known as Mr. Flippit, was the star of HGTV's 2014 series, Flip It to Win It, in which he bought dilapidated homes and renovated them, selling them for a profit. But according to the Santa Clara County DA's office, he instead spent millions on over-budget remodels, and he committed fraud. Hill was indicted in 2019 on charges connected to multiple frauds against multiple victims, including some that occurred before the series. Last year, he was convicted by plea of grand theft against 11 victims and admitted to aggravated white-collar enhancements. In one of the fraud, Hill's created a Ponzi scheme, taking an investor's money to buy homes instead would use it to live lavishly. In order to hide the theft, Hill created false balance sheets and got loans using that fraudulent information. In another case, an investor provided $250,000 to remodel a home, but when he toured the home, he found it burned in a burnt down shell with no work done on it. In another case, Hill took construction funds for personal use. Some see the huge amount of money in Silicon Valley real estate as a business opportunity, that from the DA. Others, unfortunately, see it as a criminal opportunity, and we will hold those people responsible. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison, 10 years of probation, and was ordered to pay over $9 million in restitution to the victims.
And they'll never see a penny of it. Right.
Yeah, because I don't know how he has $9 million to pay. I mean, $9 million in restitution?
Yeah, I don't get it. The whole TV thing.
Yeah. I mean, just, well, it's this is a common.
You can't run a fucking background on this dude.
He was definitely taking, anytime you're taking jobs and And then not doing the work and just stealing the money, that's about as low as you can get.
Absolutely.
Well, and he was doing it in one of the, if not the, most expensive real estate market in the country. I mean, Silicon Valley, any of those towns there are just ridiculous. I mean, through the roof. So
yeah,
he was dealing with people with deep pockets.
Yeah. So that 9 million might only be like five houses, really, technically. But well, he's got the book thrown at him for sure.
Yeah, he can flip it his sale.
Well, he had a bad scam. He should have met a guy by the name of Patrice Runner. He swindled more than $175 million from vulnerable victims. He did it by claiming he was a psychic.
Really?
Yep. So he's a con man who operated an international mail fraud scheme in which he pretended to be a psychic and promised wealth and happiness to those who would just simply send him some cash.
Right.
Runner was accused of swindling more than $175 million from 1.3 million elderly and vulnerable Americans in a two-decade mail scam. He is both a Canadian and French citizen. He's convicted of conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud, conspiracy to commit money laundering, and multiple counts of mail fraud and wire fraud. Runner, who authorities had been pursuing since all the way back in 2014, was handed a decade-long sentence by a New York judge on Monday, last Monday. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service, which investigated the case, said after his sentencing that Runner's, quote, extravagant lifestyle, born on the backs of millions of older and vulnerable Americans, has come to an end. Four other co-conspirators had previously pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit mail fraud in connection with his massive fraud scheme. The scheme, which began in 1994 and ran all the way through to November of 2014, 20 years, preyed on the elderly and those in desperate positions who were trying to get back on their feet financially. Using the name and image of Maria Duval, along with that of another French psychic named Patrick Warren, Runner and his co-conspirators would send letters promising recipients that their psychic guidance could help turn their lives around. The fraudsters obtained the names of the vulnerable and elderly by renting and trading mailing lists with other mail fraud scammers. Well, what a wonderful online service to be able to access all of these fraudsters. When a victim would reply to one letter, Runner and his co-conspirators would bombard them with dozens of additional letters, with some victims receiving as many as 100 separate letters. Victims were directed to send payments, often ranging from $5 to $50, to purchase various purported unique and supernatural objects, which were in fact cheap, mass-produced trinkets. They were also urged to submit payment to receive, quote, personalized astrological services and studies, which were never actually returned. Prosecutors say that neither Duval nor Warren had any role in sending the letters. They did not receive the responses from the victims and did not send the additional letters after victims had paid money. The letters sent in response were addressed to a New York address, where a New York-based company, and the vast majority of responses from the victims went in the trash. Runner used a series of shell companies registered in Canada and Hong Kong to conceal his involvement in the scheme. While he was living abroad in multiple foreign countries, he lived in Switzerland, France, Netherlands, Costa Rica, Spain. Infogest Direct Marketing was the name of the company that officially profited from all of these letters. They were printed in Canada and driven to Albany, New York, using a truck before they were mailed out in large batches, up to 50,000 of them at a time. They finally caught up with him in Spain, and Spain agreed to extradite him to the U.S. on June 16th of 23, and he has now been found guilty, and he's got a lot of restitution he's got to deal with. They only recovered $827,000 of the $175 million that the guy had walked away with. So,
bro, that is insane.
I wonder if he got a discount.
$175 million.
Yeah.
Jesus. You know, preying on this elderly stuff is awful.
6,000 different victims this guy had.
It's bad. Fuck them. Fuck him.
Yeah, that's a piece of shit right there.
Don't get it.
is bad, it's bad, it's bad.
Well, we're going to go to Indiana.
Hoosiers.
Hoosier State.
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight, yeah.
Where Caitlin Clark Larry just signed Bird, a contract.
Indiana
just
State.
Signed her WNBA contract. Bird,
yeah. A lot of Indiana Pacers. Good players come out of Indiana.
Indianapolis 500. Peyton Manning.
Reggie
Peyton
Miller. Reggie Miller.
Peyton Manning. Well, we're going to go to an Indiana woman who is facing a narcotics charge after she called 911 to report purchasing an inferior batch of methamphetamine that she wanted to file charges against the drug dealer.
There you go.
I mean, you know.
You got to have good shit.
Got to keep those guys honest.
Right.
Sarah Harris, 34, twice dialed the police's emergency number to declare that her meth was not what it was supposed to be. The drug, she later explained to police, left her feeling as if she was having a heart attack. Harris explained that she had snorted a line of meth and felt something different when it touched her skin and nostrils. Mm. Harris noted that she and a friend had smoked a bowl of what she called normal meth before eventually obtaining the meth that led her to call 911. Apparently, believing that the local sheriff operated a better illegal business bureau, Harris requested that the drug be tested. She also declared that I want to turn the person in that provided her the meth. While speaking with the police at her home, Harris made the mistake of handing over a bag of meth that she said was just bad meth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As a result of providing the narcotics evidence, criminal information charging her with meth possession was filed, and she was arrested. Harris's rap sheet includes convictions for theft, meth possession, criminal mischief, and a ton of other shit.
Dummy.
But in all those arrests, I guess she figured maybe they know me well enough that now, I can complain about my meth.
Snitches get ditches. The meth dealer she turned in is going to prison, too.
Yeah. That's right.
See you inside.
See you inside, meth man.
Can you believe?
Selling bad badges.
That really should be a dumb criminal.
She gets an honorary banjo for that.
Yes, definitely.
Ding, ding.
Definitely.
Ding, 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 ding. There you go.
The thing is, actually charged for selling fake dope. Like, and I've arrested people on for, like, crack dealers that have little soap chips. They look like crack rocks. And you bust them with them and you get them for counterfeit drugs.
Mm. Wow. I'm lucky I didn't get, so my friends and I would get like trashed and we'd put like a bunch of baby powder in a bag and drive through the parking lot by, a bar that everybody went to. Right. And we'd find somebody from school we knew was gullible enough and we'd drive up to him and go, hey, Richie,
you want
a hit? And, laugh our asses off when it hits their.
Yes,
I didn't know that was a crime or I wouldn't have done it. I promise. You know what I haven't done? I haven't mentioned Eric Javits, ericjavits. ericjavits.com.
Cool hats litter.
Where don't tell her. Well, she's coming. She's probably listening. But.
Miss Jerry, close your ears.
I was able to get a Tessio Champ visor, which is like, go check this thing out, a Tessio Champ visor that originally goes for almost $350 for $220, which is expensive for a hat, I understand, but you haven't seen the ugly piece of crap she's been wearing for 20 years. And this is a big holiday. I mean, Mother's Day.
Right. You're going to sport it to the beach or just by the pool?
So jump on board and get your lady a hat.
Eric Javits.
Go to the website, Javits. Pick out a hat. And
use code RLRC.
Tell your significant other which one you want. Let's go to New York.
New York City. Get a rope.
I'm upset about this story. I'll tell you why after I tell you about the story. Salvatore Rabino, age 61, also known as Sal the Shoemaker.
The Shoemaker.
He was allegedly doing more than just fixing heels and worn-out soles in his Long Island cobbler shop. On Tuesday, he pleaded guilty to his involvement with a New York mafia gambling ring that saw his shoe repair shop used as a front for illegal activities that were going on in the back of the shop.
All right.
Rubino is an associate of the Genovese crime family, which ran illegal gambling businesses associated with the crime family. He admitted in court on Tuesday to running card games and operating illegal gambling machines inside his former shoe repair business. Hmm. Okay, I mean, aren't people gambling on cards and betting in like every state in the freaking country at this point?
Yeah.
Is New York
yeah,
like the
no
last?
Taxes.
Is right. New York like the
you
last?
Get no taxes.
Okay, and hang on.
Government
hang
don't
hang,
get
hang, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Prosecutors say the ring operated out of the innocuous front end businesses that also included a gelato shop, a soccer club, and a social club. Four co-defendants and associates of the Genovese family pleaded guilty earlier this month to various felony charges stemming from their long-running operation of several lucrative gambling operations. Carmelo Carmine Polito, 64, you may have heard his name before, a former acting captain, pleaded guilty to racketeering involving the operation of an illegal gambling business and attempted extortion. Joseph Macario, 69, also known as Joe DeFish, also pleaded guilty to racketeering. Joseph Artigliano, 65, also known as Joe Box, and Mark Foyer, 61, both associates of the Genovese family, pleaded guilty to felony charges relating to the operation of various illegal gambling businesses. Artigliano and Rubino would collect the proceeds on behalf of the Genovese family and distribute them to the higher-ranking members, including Polito and Macario. Sal's Shoe Repair closed in 2021 as a result of the COVID pandemic. So even with all of that gambling business and everything else, they couldn't keep it going during COVID. I guess they didn't have access to the PPE money that the funeral parlor had. Another of the fronts of the illegal gambling operation was run out of a restaurant in Lynbrook on Long Island called the Grand Cafe. Together with the Grand Cafe, the Genovese family, working through Polito, Macario, Ritigliano, Rubino, the gangsters used a web of other seemingly legitimate shops to front four gambling dens. The group operated illegal gambling parlors at establishments called Sal's Shoe Repair in Merrick and the Centro Calico Italian Club in West Babylon. They didn't have that when I was born in Babylon. The businesses secretly operated illegal joker poker type gambling machines as well as poker games, which each of the dens bringing in more than 2,000 in illicit proceeds a day. So do the math on that. That's like $750,000 a year.
Yeah.
They busted all of these guys over $750,000 a year, stuff that everybody's doing anyway. And you're right, it's because they weren't paying any taxes.
They weren't paying taxes, exactly, and they right. Probably, had, you know, the VIG on Loan Shark, and, oh, you down? Spot you 1,000.
Well, in one disturbing incident, prosecutors say that Polito called a delinquent debtor and threatened to, quote, break his face. Afterwards, the indictment states how that Polito instructed another individual to relay a new message to the debtor. Quote, tell him I'm going to put him under a fucking bridge. That's direct.
Yeah.
And get the message gets through there. So with their guilty pleas, these five members and other associates of the Genovese family have admitted they committed crimes to benefit a criminal enterprise notorious for inflicting harm on our communities for generations, said the U.S. Attorney General. Yay. Sorry, Sal the Shoemaker, trying to make a living, fixing some shoes, couple of machines in the back, harmless sports bet here or there. Take my people down.
Yep. You know how you can tell real Italians? By their last names. They all end with a vowel. Did you know that? All Italians' last names end in a vowel.
Did I know that?
Is that true? That's course. Actually true.
Well, it's almost true. So I challenged a friend of mine at the club my father belonged to find, because the names were on everyone's locker, to find a locker that did not end in a vowel.
That's,
and he couldn't, wow, he couldn't do it. They also have black golf carts with bulletproof glass at this place.
Really?
Yeah, because the Long Island Expressway, the service road, went right by it.
Yeah.
And so you could go slow on that road, and on any given day, any number of people could have been could have been a target. Not Sal Agavino, but some other people.
Well, we're going to go back to Louis.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to go back to Louisiana, and I'm going to tell you about one of the premier schools in the state of Louisiana. Matter of fact, the richest of the rich go to this school. And the name of the school is the Silliman Institute. It's a small private school in East Feliciana Parish. And they had a little problem.
Is that Woody's school?
That is my alma mater.
It may be his alma mater, actually.
Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use AstroPro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. AstroProAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
AstroPro and go.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different. And in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today. And he might be a little upset because they had some vandals go in and vandalize that school, but authorities have chosen not to prosecute him. The East Feliciana Parish Sheriff's Office was first informed about the vandalism when one of their school resource officer showed up for work at the school on Monday morning of last week. This from East Feliciana Chief Criminal Deputy Bill Cox. At the request of Silliman, we are not pursuing a criminal investigation of vandalism at the school. They are handling it as an internal matter, and any additional information concerning the event will come from the school. Now, the vandalism include overturned desks, ransacked classrooms, and hallways covered with a mixture of baby powder, baby oil, and glitter.
The halls I used to walk.
That's right. Leanna Cupid, who is head of school at Silliman. You know, when you got a head of school instead of a principal, you got some cheese, right? She said the incident was a senior prank that had been taken too far. She said Tuesday it's unclear if the vandals were only students from Silliman or if students from other schools took part. Parents were notified just before 7 a.m. This past Monday that classes would be canceled for the day for all students grade 5 to 12 so they could kind of clean up the mess. So what do you think, Woody Everton?
No.
It's your alma mater. Should they have been prosecuted?
I saw it and a couple thoughts. I mean, it's a private school. The only one in East Feliciana. And I graduated from there.
What was your mascot?
My first Wildcats. Thought was that it is they busted whoever it was, and they are
connected
exactly. and they're like, holy shit! And probably now that I heard the more the details on it, they're like, so my graduating class, we had 28 people.
Wow!
If it really was a senior prank, which ours was painting like the roof of the locker room, shit like that. But if it was a senior prank, then the whole senior class is there. You're going to expel them all.
Yeah.
And then you have no graduating class.
Oh, that's a good point.
Probably it was a combination of both. And I'm sure some people have a sore ass about it, but it's a private deal. It's not a state funded institute. And I always hated that when they said institute. It always made me think, like
jail,
like it's a mental institute, right?
Yeah.
Are you certain it wasn't?
Probably was. But anyway.
Where does that name come from, Silliman?
So it was during the Civil War. It was. Let me see if I can get this right. It was a female. It was an all female school or college. It was a college, and after the Civil War, when segregation came. Back in the 60s, whenever it was, they started their own private school.
Now, you went to St. Stanislaus, too.
I got kicked out of St. Stanislaus, too. Yep,
that's an all-boys school.
That was an all-boys school. I'm probably the only one who ever got kicked out of it.
Yeah. You might be.
Because you had to be bad to go there anyway. Really, really rich. Or a combination.
Right. But usually a combination.
Anyway, I don't know. You know, it is what it is.
Well, that's a lot more peaceful sort of senior antics, than what's going on at the school I'm about to tell you about in North Carolina.
All right.
Because
Michael Jordan.
A male teenager in North Salem, North Carolina, has been arrested after a brutal attack on his female teacher. The attack was captured in cell phone video taken by another student who was in the class. Teachers at the school have reacted with horror to the video, which shows a middle-aged female teacher being repeatedly punched in the face and abused by a male student. This all transpired at Parkland High School in North Salem. The teacher sits motionless in the classroom as the student lands a right-handed punch to her cheek before he steps back and demands, quote, "Want me to hit you again?" The teacher says, "I don't want it," before he repeats his demands and punches her again, this time with his left. The DA, Jim O'Neill, said he had no authority to prosecute the thug as an adult for his assault on the teacher, who was astonished. So DA Jim O'Neill said he has, unfortunately, no authority to prosecute the kid as an adult for his assault on the teacher, but other teachers in the school were amazed at her resilience. quote, "I see it playing in my head," Forsyth County Sheriff Bobby Kimbrough said. "I'm amazed that she even showed up for work today. A secure custody order was issued against the boy on Tuesday for one count of communicating threats and two counts of misdemeanor assault. The DA Jim O'Neill said he cannot be charged as an adult because the charges only amount to a misdemeanor, and so they cannot be brought to Superior Court. Neither the student nor the teacher have been named publicly, but more than 1 million people have seen the footage of the attack. And after it was uploaded by that student in the classroom, despite the school asking for people to refrain from posting anything on social media, the school district has recorded, listen to this, 46 incidents of students assaulting school staff in the last academic year.
That's crazy.
They're ass beat.
46 incidents. Another teacher at the school said, "We are seeing worsening behavior since becoming more lenient with discipline. I've seen it get progressively worse, even just going through the stores or in the malls. I hear it, I see it, and it wasn't like that. Not even 10 years ago, it wasn't like that." Sheriff Kimbrough described the attack as deplorable and outrageous. "We should hold those who teach and educate our children in the highest regard." The district superintendent, Tricia McManus, said she would recommend the student's expulsion when the attack is discussed at the next school board meeting. This video, which we'll post a link to it, is pretty brutal. I mean, I can't imagine a student striking a middle-aged woman, a female teacher, like that. I mean, just, I don't know.
Neither ass beat. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't even imagine in our day.
Look, shortages of police officers, there's shortages of teachers, right? And I mean, these are probably two of the most important jobs you could have.
I agree.
In a society.
Yep. And the teacher mentioned something about since we've become more lenient, without being specific about what changed and who changed it and when they changed it, but since we've become more lenient. So I guess they're letting these kids get away with more expression. But
he also said recommend expulsion. It should be automatic expulsion.
There's no doubt about it. You ever put your hand on a teacher?
Yeah. I mean, back in my day, and we were talking about this last weekend, you know, I had my own paddle, right? And I didn't have to go to the principal's office to get it. It went from me from classroom to classroom. And when I acted out, I had to get it, reach over and grab my ankles in front of all my friends, and the teacher paddled me. And my dad was cool with it. He was like,
"Be his ass."
They gave my and they had my aunt make the paddle, right? But it had holes in the middle of it and shit.
Yeah.
But I deserved every lick I got, but I never thought about turning around and hitting a teacher.
Well, you can't hide amongst 28. I mean, if there's 28 in your class,
that's split into two classrooms. So there's like what, 13 and a half or four, whatever it was.
I had 960 kids in my graduating class.
Yeah, I bet you at Sillam there is not, well, they didn't used to be 300 in K-12.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
One extreme to the other. But you can hide amongst 960 kids.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't at St. Stanislaus.
No. I know that story.
In your next life, you'll go to West Islip High School and be notorious.
Right.
St. Stanislaus.
Yeah. Ah, there's some kinky.
Here comes kinky, no pun intended, kinky crime for Monday. Now, y'all, this was different. A little bit disturbing, but definitely different. So Montana.
Yep.
Beautiful place, right?
Beautiful.
I did some work out there, consulting work for 3 weeks in Billings. Loved it. Yeah. Did I tell you about that? The pizza place that was number one rated restaurant in Billings, Montana, which is not like a big city like you would think it would be. It's like really rustic and fucking a lot of bars and whatever. Anyway, the number one restaurant was a pizza place. And I stayed at the Hilton or Hilton property, whatever it was, which was on the river. It didn't look like a hotel. But anyway, call up and order pizza. And they said, "Can we take your order?" I said, "Yeah, I'd like to order pizza." I said, "We're sorry, we're out of pizzas."
And it was a pizza place.
Yeah, on a Friday fucking night.
Oh my God.
So I had to go back on Saturday and try it. See how good it is and it sells out. But anyway, let's go to Montana.
So the Pizza Hut generally doesn't run out.
No, there was no Pizza Hut or McDonald's in that. It was really rustic, charming place. Good food. Anyway,
when they had some.
So this was when they had it. So that was the first. I actually walked to the restaurant. It was snow on the ground and shit, and it was just over the bridge. The river runs through the town, and went in. That's the first restaurant I ever went in. It had a non-gender specific bathroom. What do you call that?
Oh,
unisex.
Yeah. I didn't really get that, but anyway, let's go to Montana, where a machete wielding Montana woman broke into her ex-boyfriend's home. She then told him to take his clothes off and forced him to have sex with her. Samantha Mears, 19, entered the victim's home in Great Falls on Tuesday when he was not home. When he returned, Mears confronted him from behind with a machete. Mears then told the man to get on the bed and take off your clothes.
Hey.
The victim, right.
What's wrong with that?
Listen to this shit. The victim told police that he complied with Mears for fear of his safety, adding that he did not feel he could leave the room at the time without being hurt by Mears. The bitch got a machete, right?
I get it.
So investigators say that Mears, this is the female, y'all, removed her pants. She climbed on top of the victim and engaged in intercourse.
Hey.
Right? The victim said that Mears, who was holding the machete, bit him on the arm and continued to have sex with him after he attempted to end the encounter. Victim told the police that he had become aroused by seeing her naked. And then the man added that after ejaculating, he attempted to push Mears off him. After he ejaculates, he attempts to push her off of him, but she bit his ass on the arm and continued to have sex with him until he was no longer erect and it slipped out. And the
sounds to me like he might have enjoyed this.
So the bite didn't arouse him a second time.
After then, of course, Mears sat on the bed, still armed with the machete, and she had her back to the wall, right?
Yeah.
And it was during this time that the victim took several photos of Mears with machete in her hand. The man provided the images to police. He had a bite mark on his arm when he was interviewed by the cops. And after calling 911, he backed out of the bedroom and escaped his own residence, right? He ran out the door. With a machete.
That sounds to me like a good time. Yeah. I mean,
just look away from the machete and look toward her.
When he got finished, she wasn't finished.
She wasn't done. She
bit him.
That's it.
But
this ride ain't over till I say it's over.
She was on top of him with a machete.
That's crazy. Well,
that is crazy.
That is kinky.
That is your kinky crime for Monday.
And she wasn't charged with anything sex related. It's all that's consent.
I don't know if it'd be consent.
You know what? You're right. Absolutely, consent. You're correct. She was. Well, she was charged with a misdemeanor of unlawful restraint, but it didn't say anything about. I guess if the challenge the erection was consent. I don't know.
Well, he said, I mean.
Well, he told the cops so obviously they asked him, well, how did you get a wreck?
Right.
And he's like, well, so she took her clothes off.
Naked women with machetes turned on.
Yeah. Whew. Crazy stuff going on with that.
All right. Banjos.
Banjo time.
An abrupt end. Visually segue out of the plug was pulled on the band. Okay, so Paulo Roberto Braga, age 68, passed away in Bangu, Brazil on Tuesday. Mm. Sad, isn't it?
Bangu.
It's sad, but it happens. But what you don't see very often is someone going to the bank to withdraw funds hours after they've died. But that's exactly what Paulo did.
How is that possible?
Well, aided by Erica de Souza Vieira Nunez, Paulo Braga was wheeled into the bank branch in Bangu. Nunez used her hand to keep Braga's head upright as she spoke at him. Uncle.
Oh, my God.
Uncle, are you listening?
Weekend at Bernie's.
You have to sign it.
Be.
I can't sign for you. Footage shows Nunez telling the dead man to grip hold of his pen hard as she placed it between his fingers and encouraged him to sign a piece of paper.
Oh, boy.
A bank worker witnessing the scene told the woman, quote, "I don't think this is legal. He doesn't look well. He's very pale." She replied, "He's like that." And turning back toward the corpse of Braga, she said, quote, "If you're not well, I can take you to the hospital. Do you want to go back to the hospital again?" This all was caught rather hysterically on video. Unfortunately, it's all in Portuguese, so I'm not going to play a clip for you, but we'll post the video so you can see it. But the video shows Braga's head swaying back and forth, and then Nunez grabbing hold of his neck with her left hand from behind. She urges him, "Sign here and stop giving me a headache," but was met by biological silence from the man she was pretending to have a conversation with. The document that required Braga's signature was for a loan that that Braga had very recently applied for. In other words, somebody applied for it in his name, not him. Everyone in the bank other than Nunez seemed to understand what was happening. I got a picture of it. I'm going to show the guys. Paramedics were called to the scene and confirmed what we already knew, which is that Braga was no longer with us. Nunez was arrested at the scene and told police she was his niece as well as caregiver. Officials say the two are related and that they were reviewing CCTV footage outside of the bank to see if Mr. Braga's family member was on her own or she had some accomplices. Police believe they're dealing with an organized fraud and that several other family members were involved. The investigation is continuing. Local reports said that the loan was for 17,000 Brazilian reais? R-E-A-I-S, whatever the currency in Brazil is. I've never seen that, reais. The equivalent of around $4,000. So for $4,000, she was propping dead uncle, filling out fake loan forms, and taking him into the bank. You are a Portuguese-speaking dummy.
Another genius.
Brazilian we banjos for you.
That's uncle.
Special.
Sign here.
Nunez.
Fear my key.
It's unfortunate.
He looks a little pale. Yeah.
He looks a little pale.
That'll happen.
He's moving his head like a puppet master.
Wow.
Right? There you go.
And people think they're going to get away with that.
Yep. Prisons are full of dummies.
Yeah, you're right.
Even in Brazil.
Yep. Any final thought?
I think they should have let her get away with it, actually.
You know, yeah, man. Brazil. $4,000.
How long am I prohibited from telling Alec Baldwin Russ stories, you know, that there's some new stuff going on there.
I'm really done with that. I'll save everybody, because if you tell the story, it's going to take about 25 minutes. I'll say everybody's time. The chick.
But it's interesting.
That was was in charge of the gun thing, got some prison time.
Yeah. But
that's
now
it.
No. That's not it. See, you don't know. That's why I need to do 25 to 30. Minutes. Okay. Solid.
Well, you can tell it. You can tell it in 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right.
I got that one.
We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for tuning in and liking and sharing and all that good podcasters.
That's right. Mike, anything?
Caitlin, Livy, thinking about you guys. I'm working on something. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, Caitlin, Livy, y'all let me know how it works out for you.
Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.